What's up, plebs? Luke and I just watched Jen Psaki. I know that it could be Saki or something else, or Saki it to me, but I'm going to go with Psaki because I like to phonetically sound things. Anyway, so Jen Psaki, the press secretary for President Biden, just dropped a bomb on everybody trying to, I think, buffer what's going to happen with the CPI print tomorrow, and. Yeah, so we're going to get into that and the Putin's price hike, and then we'll also talk about wrapping up the Bitcoin 2022 and all the fun stuff that we got to experience there and everything. So thanks to our sponsors, Bitbox, Bitbox O2 hardware wallet from Shift Crypto, and Movies Plus. If you want to learn more about them, listen on into the episode, or you can just Google it right now. And there's a audio clip from one of the local radio shows. I think they just got it for themselves, but there's this guy that goes, "Google it right now." And I always think that in my head, because like, how many times in your life could you just Google it right now? But anyways, Luke, how was your flight back? Are you sick? And are you sick of not seeing me in our
Don't even.
romantic gay hotel?
I am back in communist California. I am missing our little love retreat, Corey. To the listeners, Corey and I shared a room in Miami 2022, which was phenomenal. It was our first time meeting, so that was great. That was good fun. Bitcoin Miami 2022 was massive. It was so massive that it's absolutely kicked my ass. I'm sick. I'm tired. I think I had less than 10 hours sleep combined for the past 4 or 5 days. So I'm sorry to the listeners. My voice is a bit scratchy. But I'm back. I'm glad to be back. I'm glad to be covering the big news of the week. Because, like you mentioned in the introduction, Corey, Jen Psaki looks terrified. We just watched a video of Jen Psaki, who is the press secretary for Biden. Is that right, Corey? Is that her title? And she was essentially just warning us, look, guys, the inflation print that comes out tomorrow is going to be absolutely massive. I think this video will come out tomorrow on the day that the inflation print goes live. So you guys listening in will know the exact details of
I mean,
just
it's got
how
to be double digits, right?
I'm feeling double digits. I don't know. Like I think the fact that she's had to come out ahead of time and warn people about how massive it's going to be. I can't remember the exact terminology she said, but she said a
Well, she
big
called it
change.
Putin's price hike.
Yeah, a big change is coming, she said, and it was all blamed on Putin's price hike. So I think we're going to discuss that in today's video because that's a little bit of a common misconception that's surrounding the inflation narrative.
Yeah. So, all right. So you're the one that studies this macro stuff. So tell us what we're looking at on the screen. If you aren't watching us, we'll do our best. You don't need to watch us, but we have. If you want to check out on the YouTube video, Luke has some charts pulled up, or as he says in Australian, a chart. Yeah, we can take a look at what in the world is going on, because I mean, let's see. So the other day, like we have our SUV that, is like the car that we take everywhere, with all the kids' stuff in the back, sports equipment, yada yada. And then we have the other one that's like our one we've had. It's, 12 years old, and it's, a little coupe that we keep, and that's kind of for like local driving and whatever. And I always enjoyed filling up the little car at the gas station. It was like, because the price, first of all, it takes regular gas, like the Land Rover takes like premium, like all that kind of stuff. It actually works out better to use premium instead of, but anyways, anytime you fill up the Land Rover, it's a bigger tank. You're using premium. It's just like, oh my God. So I always looked forward to whenever I'd fill up the Mazda, our little Mazda 3, I was always like, oh, like this is basically free, because it was so much cheaper compared to filling up the Land Rover. And so I filled it up because I took it back and forth to the airport, and I filled it up and I almost crap my pants, because it was more than what I usually paid to fill up the Land Rover. And I was just like, oh, this is getting out of control. And I mean, we know that as Bitcoiners, we know that. But yeah, what in the world is going on? Because it's not, they're calling it the Putin price hike.
Well, they're telling you it's all Putin, Corey. So I don't know what you're talking about. I think it's just a patriotic duty. You should suck up your patriotic duty and just fill your tank, because it's all because of Putin. It's only because we're at
it has
war.
Nothing to do with the fact that there's like double the amount of dollars competing for the same number of resources.
Let's dispel this myth right here, right now, because I'm sick of hearing this Putin price hike bullshit. So let's have a look at a few charts and see just when the oil and gas price inflation actually started. And surprise, surprise, it's got nothing to do with Putin. First chart we're going to look at, we're looking at the price of oil. And the vertical line on the chart is November 2020. So this is actually when Biden took office in the United States. And you can see the price for a barrel of oil was $35 a barrel in November 2020. Okay. And then you fast forward to the second line I've got on chart here, and that is February 2022. So this was a full month before Putin invaded Ukraine. So, and you can see that the price of oil is $98 a barrel. So between November 2020, when Biden took office, and February 2022, the price of oil ran from $35 a barrel to $98 a barrel. So that is an increase of something like 172%, and this was all well before the Biden, this was well before the Russia and Ukraine war. So I think that's something that just doesn't get talked about in the news. Obviously, same situation with gas prices. So this is a chart of gas prices, obviously pretty reliant upon what happens with oil, but you can see the price of gas was trading within a range. So I've got these two red lines drawn up on this chart. This is gas prices in the United States. You can see for the best part of, well, this is about 8 years. So between 2014 and 2021, gas prices were trading within a range. And then you can see after Biden took office in 2020 and 2021, gas prices actually started getting above this range for the first time in 8 years. And if you zoom in on the chart here, plebs, you'll see a little red circle. Now that is the very beginning of February 2022, and you can see prices of gas were like, is at 100% higher than they have been for the past 8 years. So this is well before, again, this is 3 to 4 weeks before the Putin invasion of Ukraine. Just before I move on to the other charts, there, Corey. Thoughts is it all just got to do with the Putin price hike, or is there maybe something else that's causing this runaway inflation?
And I'm not a macroeconomic, you know, I don't have a doctorate in macroeconomics, but like I've said to people before, what made me absolutely ape into Bitcoin was understanding that they were going to, in March of 2020, I was like, they're gonna print like crazy. And then when I learned about what QE was and realized they've been doing it for a long time, I was like, oh my God. And I went even aped into it even more. So yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you have at least, you know, close to double the amount of dollars in circulation competing for a finite amount of resources. The amount of resources did not change. So I kind of just am stuck here thinking, is this the beginning of when money dies? You know, is this, I mean, not the beginning because it's been dying, but is this whenever everybody else starts to wake up to it? Because it's about to get, I've been saying it for a while, it's about to get weird. Yeah, this is what happens with supply and demand. And when you tinker with the supply of dollars, that is going to come back and bite you big time. So it has nothing to do with Putin. Now, I also say, you know, it has very little to do with whether it would have been Trump or Biden in office. Because they, when Trump was in there, they were happily printing. So it's not really a partisan issue. It's a fiscal issue. It's a soft money issue. It's a problem with, I mean, don't get me wrong. There are certain policies that Biden could change that would make things better. You know, Keystone Pipeline being one of them. But yeah, and also antagonize the way we've antagonized this situation. But I don't know. I mean, what do you think? It's not really a partisan issue. It's the dollar is dying issue.
Now, I largely agree with you, my friend. It is.
No, I think there's nuance to it. There's a little bit different, but you know.
Yeah, I think you've got. I definitely agree with you on the. There's just simply too much money chasing too few goods. 100% agree. But I think Biden's even worse than Trump. I mean,
as far as managing finances, 100%. Like, and also putting together coherent sentences.
Well, no, it's the energy policies that Biden's pursuing. So Trump was friendly to oil fracking, and he actually let the U.S. you know, engage in, you know, oil fracking and, you know, becoming energy independent. But since Biden's taken office, we all know that Biden's essentially a controlled puppet of the World Economic Forum. And we also all know that the World Economic Forum is chasing these quote unquote green initiatives where they're trying to shut down, especially like anything that's got anything to do with oil or natural gas. And so since Biden's taken office, he's shut down the Keystone Pipeline. He's suspended oil and gas leasing in slew of executive orders on climate change. He's and you can see since Biden's taken office, we're producing 10% less oil than we were in 2019. So this is all contributing to the big factor, which
it's like a comedy of errors, honestly.
Hey,
it's a comedy of errors. It's the money printing that would have happened no matter who was in, and then it's just getting multiplied and amplified by whoever is. Hang on a second, hold up.
Daddy's in the middle of something, guys.
We're doing it live.
Yeah, no, we're good.
we're doing it live.
We're not editing that, by the way. It's more fun that way.
we agree on the fiscal cause of the inflation, but then in my opinion Biden's making it even worse than Trump because he's actively shutting down
it's as if he wants it to happen.
Exactly. Controlled demolition.
Exactly. Leads to the narrative of like where people go like, you're crazy for thinking that, and it's like, well, no, not really, because it appears to be happening.
Well, it's fact. We just looked at the headlines. Biden's actively shutting down oil and gas leases. He's actively shutting down key infrastructure like the Keystone Pipeline. And you can see by the charts, as the United States is producing 10% less oil in 2022 than it was in 2019. So you've got more money chasing less supply, not even the same supply of oil. It's less. So it's a massive shit show. But guess what, Corey? Our central planners, the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, he's figured out how to fix this problem. So our central planners, they cause inflation with money printing, right? And now, obviously, the money printing causes prices of everything to go up. So Gavin Newsom, the genius that he is, he comes out and he says, yeah, you know what? The solution to money printing and high prices is, how about we print some more money and give it to Californian residents? So in California, you can actually, everyone who's got a registered vehicle will get $400 of freshly printed fiat as a quote unquote fuel subsidy. Thoughts on that one, Corey?
Take that money and plow it right into Bitcoin.
Fuck yes. I think that's a great idea. I think that's a brilliant idea.
For anyone living in California, that is... This is not financial advice, but I would tell you, if you're getting the money printed right into your pocket, probably hedge against inflation with that thing that has the hard cap of 21 million. What's it called again? Bitcoin?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that. They're doing the same thing in Quebec as well in Canada. So they're giving residents $500 to help fight inflation. Thank God for our central planners with their brilliance.
What would we do without them, you know?
I know, I know. They're
always looking out for us, to be honest.
It's all for your safety, Corey. Everything they do is for our health and safety. But rounding out the inflation topic, we are recording the day before that the CPI inflation metric gets released. Let's both take a little bit of a stab or an estimate at where we think it's going to be. It was 7.9% for February 2022. I'm going to take a guess, and I'm going to say we're 9.5%. I reckon that'll be the figure that comes out tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, I was initially thinking we might be in double digits, but something about 9% sounds a lot worse than 7%, even though it's just a little bit. You know, like, so like the sticker shock, I think, is going to be there. But if I had to guess, I don't know, with the way that they're laying the groundwork, maybe it's going to be like, maybe it's going to cross over and touch the 10. You know, maybe it'll be like 10.2 or 10.1.
That'd be a sticker shock.
Yeah, maybe by the time this releases, everyone will be like, wow, that was either really conservative or really, reaching. But maybe it'll just blow that narrative up, and it'll be something like crazy, like 15% or something.
Jeez, that would be crazy. That would be bullish.
Bullish for Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Bearish for everything else.
Yeah. Just well, a reminder.
What do you think it's going to... Hey. No, I was just going to say, what do you think, though? I mean, it just looks like the price of Bitcoin is still correlated with the S&P. And, you know, like, what's going to cause that? And we can get into that, too, once we get off the... We can talk about the illiquid supply and, like, why is the price of Bitcoin going down when more people are hodling and all that kind of stuff? But, like, you know, you would think conventional wisdom would tell you, like, hey, like, get into Bitcoin, the price is going to take off with hyperinflation. But at this point, I don't even know if that's going to happen. So, I mean, with hyperinflation, do you think we're going to see that, or what were you going to get into?
Yes. I think the price of Bitcoin short term, it's correlated to the equities market. And I actually think that's a good thing. Like, I actually think that means that the largest traders in the world are trading Bitcoin. They're interested in Bitcoin. Except they just don't understand Bitcoin. So they're trading it as a high beta tech stock. So it's very correlated to the NASDAQ. And naturally, when you're in an environment of interest rates rising and central banks withdrawing stimulus out of the market, tech stocks do poorly because they have to get repriced at higher interest rates. So that's a reason why Bitcoin's been drawn down in the short term. But I think something that's a lot of people are missing is Bitcoin is being heavily accumulated. So that kind of gets to the point you touched about with the illiquid supply shock. I think illiquid supply essentially measures the ratio between the long-term holders and the short-term holders. Okay, so the Bitcoin has an open blockchain. We can actually see what kind of wallets and what kind of entities hold Bitcoin. And if you hold on to your Bitcoin for longer than 6 months, you're deemed as a long-term holder. Okay, so that's typically the smart money. And throughout this entire correction, from 69K to, God, we're in the 30s at the moment. So throughout this entire 55% correction, the long-term holders have been accumulating more and more supply, and they actually hold on to more supply today than they did at the bottom in 2018 when Bitcoin was at 3K. So they are heavily accumulating Bitcoin, and Bitcoins continue flying off of exchanges into the wallets and the custody of the smart money. So I think we're watching a divergence, and I think when you get just a little bit of demand coming into the Bitcoin market, it's going to absolutely rocket. Okay. So that's everything we described is the supply side of Bitcoin. So there's a constraining amount of supply actually for sale on exchanges. And when just a little bit of demand comes in, price is going to absolutely moon. And that's what we saw in 2020. So, like, again, the amount of hodling or the coins being held by long-term holders today, it looks very similar to what was occurring in 2020, just before that bull run got started.
All right, so we'll get into that a little bit. My dark theory as to what's going on, but and then did you want to go over that chart that you were just looking at?
Which one are you referring
that
to?
That CPI, the one that was just in that.
No, I think we beat CPI to death. Okay. I think we've smashed that.
Before we get into the illiquid supply and discussing that more, I want to thank again Bitbox for being the sponsor of the show. The Bitbox O2 hardware wallet, super easy to use and super user friendly. It's, you know, got a touch screen. It's the size of a thumb drive, very easy to use. And like I said before, I was always nervous about taking Bitcoin and putting it onto a wallet. And then this one was actually so easy for me to use that I am addicted to it. So it's like almost like every other day I keep breaking it out. And I'm like, you know, I'm not supposed to like always be taking stuff off of exchanges, which means, do I have too much on exchanges? What am I doing? But it's seriously, it's so simple to use. So go to shiftcrypto.ch/Bitcoin Made Simple and you use the code Bitcoin Made Simple to get 5% off your order. And I mean, Luke, you've got a chance to poke around with it. What do you think of the Bitbox?
I think it's one of the easiest hardware wallets that I've ever used. Like, I've had them all. I've used a Ledger. I've used a Trezor. I've used a Cold Card. I've even created my own multi-signature setup schema with Spectre Wallet. Honestly, the Bitbox is the easiest one to use. Sleek, sexy, easy to use. It's a hardware wallet that, you know, actually works. So highly recommend you guys go and get one. Any of the sponsors on the podcast, you know, they're not going to be sponsors that we don't personally use their services ourselves. Like, we both use Bitbox. It's a great hardware wallet. Another service that I personally have used before in the past is taking advantage of a one-on-one video call with a Bitcoin pro. So obviously that is Coinbeast. So head on over to coinbeast.com, guys, if you want to, if you need any help with either setting up a hardware wallet, or if you need help running a node, or if you need help setting up a Lightning node, there will be a Bitcoin pro that specializes in each one of those Bitcoin disciplines. So head on over to coinbeastconnect.com and you can book a one-on-one video call with a Bitcoin pro over there. So Corey and I actually had the pleasure of meeting both of our show sponsors in Bitcoin Miami 2022 in person for the first time. So that was amazing.
And we had some good times and some good stories were created out of that with my sweatpants that I had to wear at the bar. Also Movies Plus, go to mymoviesplus.com. Check out you get a free 30-day trial. You can sign up there. We got a bunch of Bitcoin docs. We're putting more on there. And then also, actually, I was meeting with some filmmakers at Bitcoin 2022. So, you know, it's funny. I kind of mixed Bitcoin with my real world where I, you know, go in and talk to filmmakers. So it was kind of funny. It was changing gears midway. But yeah, we're going to have a lot more content coming. And so definitely, if you want to stay on top of it, have it all in one place. Some of it's even free. So you don't even have to sign up for the 30-day free trial to watch some of the content. Check it out.
Definitely go and check it out, plebs. For any plebs who are unsure or don't know the full story behind that, Corey is the CEO and founder of My Movies Plus, and it is Netflix 2.0. It is Netflix without the communist bullshit. There is no censorship on the platform.
Free speech maximalist that's also Bitcoin-backed. So I don't know if that gets much better for as a streaming platform for plebs, because it's our balance sheet is Bitcoin, and also we are free speech maximalists. So I do have Love to work before we get back to the illiquid supply. I wonder because I want to free speech. So I've said this before, if somebody brings like a altcoin documentary to us, which probably won't ever exist, but like I have to put it up because it's freedom of speech, and obviously people look through the lies and see that it's garbage. But I thought, like, I should just make a tab and call it like, you know, like on, you know, you look through Netflix, it's like drama, family, you know, romance, and make one of them just be shit coins and just straight put them all there. So be like, hey, it's freedom of speech, but I mean, I'm also calling them all shit coins. It's my choice to call them that. So we'll see whenever that day comes. But back to the illiquid supply change. So, I mean, Luke has a chart up here showing the illiquid supply. I put a tweet out earlier today saying, like, what in the world is going on? Because all I keep hearing and seeing is that there's more and more Bitcoin being held by long-term hodlers that are not letting go of their Bitcoin. Yet the price is getting suppressed. My radar goes up and I start thinking, is this something nefarious going on? You know, and I think I said, like, I'm all for it. Let's audit the Fed, but let's also audit the exchanges, because WTF is going on. There's no way that there's that much Bitcoin being sold. So I don't know what you think of that, Luke. My greater theory of, like, are they just, you know, insolvent and they're just selling it on spot as a way to boost trading? And could they actually, you know, cover all the Bitcoin they say they have on exchanges? Because that's what that's why I tell people, get your Bitcoin off of exchanges. And that way, even Steve Barber, I linked it underneath my tweet when I said that. Steve Barber posted and said, there will be a bank run on Bitcoin at some point, and you better hope that you have your coins off of exchanges before that happens.
I have absolutely zero doubt that there's going to be a massive bank run in Bitcoin. And I honestly think that's when Bitcoin goes... starts traveling up the steep part of the S curve is when there's a supply shock in Bitcoin. Regular listeners will get sick of me talking about this, but I think Bitcoin fundamentally changed in 2020. For the first 10 years of Bitcoin's life up until 2020, coins were being sent to exchanges to be bought and sold. Since 2020, we've actually watched that fundamentally shift for the first time in 12 years. And for the past 2 years straight, since 2020, we've watched coins just leave exchanges at a precipitous rate. So the amount of supply actually on exchanges has gone from like 3.1 million coins down to like 2.4 million coins. So you've essentially just watched 30% of all the supply that's actively traded on a daily basis just go to the hands of long-term holders who aren't selling their Bitcoin. And that's highlighted by the illiquid supply change. Like this metric, since the mining ban from China back in mid-2021, illiquid supply has just been growing for over 220 days straight. So since June 2021, you've just watched more and more coins become illiquid and not trade in hands. And they go into the hands of wallets who aren't selling for more than 6 months. So we all know what happened in 2020 in October. You got a little bit of demand with Michael Saylor coming into the market, and the Bitcoin price ran from 9,000 to 59,000 in the space of a few months. So I think we're setting up for something very similar here, as Bitcoin's at 40,000 and the illiquid supply has been increasing for 200 days straight.
So 200 days straight. So that March on the... That's March of last year?
June. No. So the illiquid supply has been increasing for 200 days. So that's since June 2021. Okay. That was when we crashed from 65K to 30K. What I was talking about with coins on exchanges, just to clarify, that's different. So that trend changed in March of 2020. So for the past 2 years, we've watched coins on exchange go from 3.1 million to 2.4 million. And that's pretty much been a straight line down to the right.
Wow. And I can't believe that the price is pushing down again. How does that happen?
So that's the short-term correlation to stocks. I'm not sure if there's anything nefarious going on, because we would actually probably see that in the futures market. And yeah, the futures volume is relatively high. But I think it would be a lot higher if a state actor was suppressing the price of Bitcoin. I'm not sure how to feel about that. Maybe some of that futures volume is nation states shorting Bitcoin. Wouldn't be surprised if that were the case.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just my conspiratorial mind. I'm pinning your tinfoil hat on.
Put it on, and I think you're 100% right about exchanges. Exchanges are rehypothecating Bitcoin. I have no doubt in my mind about that. Last year, when the price of Bitcoin was running from 9K to 65K, one of the largest exchanges in Australia called eToro actually come out and said, next week, we actually won't be able to let you withdraw your Bitcoin off the exchange. So there you go. So,
AKA, we don't have it.
Exactly.
We don't actually have it. That's insane. That's the dangers. That's what I mean, honestly, not to plug the Bitbox again, but seriously, go get a Bitbox. They're relatively cheap, and it's the best way to secure your investment and your life savings, because the day is going to come where it's going to be like it's going to be like It's a Wonderful Life, if you've ever seen that movie. Literally came out like 100 years before Luke was born. But
had to be not that young.
But you know, the bank run in 1929, you know, with the stock market, they were out of cash, stuff like that. Seriously, you should watch that scene from It's a Wonderful Life and watch how they didn't have enough cash in the bank to cover everybody's withdrawals. And, you know, so George is sitting there saying, you know, just tell me, how much do you need to get you from here to through next, you know, Wednesday? You know, and they're like, you know, one guy is, you know, a jerk, and I want my whole thing. And he goes, okay, fine. And then the next lady says, oh, like, I could do like $5.75, you know. And he's like, oh, bless you, you know, all that kind of stuff. And but that's what fractional reserve banking is. And I think I'm just worried that the exchanges, which shouldn't be doing that, the exchanges should have 100%, you know, coin for coin matched up with what they say you own. That's what they should have matched up on their balance sheet. And I'm afraid that they're rehypothecating it for their own benefit, and that those chickens are going to come home to roost, where you, like you said, with eToro, one of these days they're going to say, hey, sorry, we can't let you exchange or pull your Bitcoin off the exchange, which is code for, we need to use some of our profits over the next couple months to get more Bitcoin on our balance sheet so that we can then send that to you. So anyways,
I say to people all the time, if you got Bitcoin on exchange, just, you don't own Bitcoin. You literally don't own Bitcoin.
You own the idea of it.
If you got Bitcoin on an exchange, that exchange gets hacked. Guess what? Bye-bye. Bye-bye goes your Bitcoin. It's funny that we're talking about this, because literally last night I was watching the newest documentary about Bitcoin that went on to Netflix, and it's talking about the Canadian exchange, Quadriga.
What's this documentary called?
I can't remember the name off the top of my head, but it's...
It's on Netflix?
It's on Netflix. Yeah, it's brand new. Has a big Bitcoin logo on it. If you guys Google it, I'm sure you'll find it. But it's essentially talking about
it's not the large one by Pierre Corbin, is it? That's the guy that I met with. One of the guys I met with in Miami. Just curious.
I don't think so. But it's essentially talking about the story of the largest exchange in Canada. The dude faked his own death and ran away with $250 million worth of funds. So an enormous hack.
What was that? What was that one called? The exchange.
I don't have the exchange, Quadriga. Quadriga X.
Yeah.
Canada's largest exchange.
That is why you need to always get your coins off of the exchanges, because those chickens will come home to roost. So I mean, we could beat that to death, but you know, you plebs know what to do that. But I guess
You'd be surprised. Like,
that's true.
You'd be surprised the amount of complacency there is in the Bitcoin space about not taking coins off exchanges.
It's an empowering feeling once you do it.
It is. It really is. And it's actually easier than most people think. Start little. You don't need to move your whole stack off the exchange and hit. Do $10 and make sure that the transaction goes through all good and you didn't cock anything up. And then you do with a larger amount. It's very empowering when you know what you're doing.
Yeah, Yeah. And it's, again, we're not, this is just part of what we're actually talking about. We're not just shilling the BitBox, but seriously, it's so easy. And the thing I like about it too, because it is a hair raising moment. So like whenever you, for anyone that hasn't sent Bitcoin off of an exchange before, you know, like you send it and like it takes a minute or so to get the confirmation, the first confirmation. And depending on the wallet you use, it's different to see how you receive that confirmation. But on the BitBox app, actually, like when you send it through, the first confirmation shows up like immediately. So like there is no moment of like wondering, oh my God, where is it in the ether? And yeah, you always do a test transaction. Like I recommend that to everybody. Just do a test transaction and, you know, see, like throw $10 through to make sure you have the addresses right and everything. And then once you see that, just send it to the same address and, you know, do the amount you want. Although I saw somebody once showed an on-chain metric where they saw it was like a new wallet was created, new wallet address, and somebody just like transferred off of an exchange to this wallet, like it was like $1 billion. And they didn't do a test transaction. And somebody was like, wow, what like balls that person has to just be like, yep, I know I'm right. Like just gonna send it. You know, they're off by one digit, they could have, you know, completely screw themselves. But yeah, I always recommend test transactions. I mean, the fees are like 15 cents. It's nothing. So it's worth doing a test transaction. You see it goes through, boom, do the same address, you're good to go. So yeah, enough about, you know, getting it off the exchanges. I guess you know, the last couple of things we can wrap up with here, Luke, was you know, we had a great time at Bitcoin 2022. And, you know, the YouTube, I will just say, for anyone that works at Bitcoin Magazine or anyone else that's worried about getting censored on YouTube, you should contact me directly, because I don't know if you heard Luke earlier, but I do own a streaming platform called Movies Plus. And we are working, and I'm going to make sure, because Thursday night into Friday morning, Bitcoin Magazine's YouTube channel that they're streaming everything from the conference on got canceled and, you know, pulled down, and it quickly got reinstated because I'm sure it was just, you know, some random thing. But that day is coming. They are going to take every single one of you down, and you will all be off of YouTube, and you've got to have a backup plan in place. And to have that backup plan in place, I'm willing. I want to do that for everybody. So Movies Plus, we won't put you behind the paywall either. Put you out there for free, just like YouTube, so anyone can watch you. But you should probably have that contingency plan in place, because I've been screaming from the mountaintops. It's really frustrating in my life, because I sit here screaming from the mountaintops that, you know, the money is a lie and buy Bitcoin, and feel like in my regular life nobody pays attention. And then I scream from the mountaintops that the censorship is coming for you, whether you're on the right or the left, and work with me at Movies Plus. And sure, you know, it'll help my company, but Jesus Christ, this is a real thing. This is why I started the company, was to protect against this. So this stuff's coming. I can't stress that enough, but yeah, aside from pushing my own platform, seriously, the Bitcoin content is going to continue to get censored. Yeah, other than that, I don't know, Luke. I mean, it's meeting all of our pleb friends. It was kind of fun. We met, like, you know, so Shinobi told me, he said, I'm over by this, you know, one part, and over by like the video game part in the exhibition hall. And so I have no idea what Shinobi looks like. And I just come walking up to people, and I likened it to being in like a medieval or like Lord of the Rings type scenario, where I literally walked up to this person and I said, I'm looking for the one they call Shinobi. And he was like, I don't know.
That's exactly how it went down too. He's not joking. Yeah.
And he was like, I don't know who that is. And so then, you know, finally found Shinobi. And then, so we got to do the fun thing, because then we're sitting there talking to Shinobi. We met like Uncle Jim and a bunch of other NIMs. And so we're all standing there talking to them. And then Phil Gibson, comes walking up to us, and we like say, "What's up? Hey, how you doing?" And we're just standing there, and we just start smiling and waiting for him to figure out who he's like standing around. He has no idea. It's all these people he's been talking to for so long. And then, you know, once he figures out, he's like, "Oh, hey," you know, and it's just it was great. So you, by the way, you know this is all on screen, what you're poking around on.
Yeah, I was bringing up Uncle Jim's profile for the people listening in on the
Okay.
YouTube video. So when we're talking about Uncle Jim or Shinobi, these are the Nims that we're talking about.
Yeah, so it was good times getting getting to see all of them. And then also, you know, just had a lot of fun. If anyone's on the fence about it, I mean, I know a lot of people. Last year I didn't get to go to Bitcoin 2021. I was, you know, kind of like, man, like I'm missing out. This sucks. It really is. Like, I don't even, I think we saw like a quarter of the, at most a quarter of the talks that happen. The best part is really getting to just walk around, and we literally were like meeting people. I didn't know who I was like, I the only person I actually know here is like Luke that I talk to on a regular basis. There's other people that I've talked to that like I know we know each other. You know, like I mean, and so I was just like, we'll see what happens. And yeah, we just end up walking around, you bump into people, hey, they know this person, and you start all meeting each other. And I highly recommend it because just the pleb energy is there. Ignore the noise of the shitcoin talk. There's a lot of good pleb energy there.
I thought it was okay. I couldn't agree more on the
You thought it was
talks. I
okay.
actually did. I didn't think it was as bad as a lot of people were making it out to be on Twitter. I even watched the I did a little bit of investigating. I watched the Serena Williams interview last night, and she was pretty Bitcoin only and Bitcoin focused. I thought it was okay. There was a few shit things like seeing a Celsius fucking booth at in the exhibition hall, but apart from that, I thought it was okay. There's a couple of people that said the word crypto here and there, but I think overall it was, I think it was pretty good. I'll give Bitcoin Magazine a B plus on the amount of Bitcoin only content at the conference. I echo everything Corey said. It was amazing. Got to meet a shit ton of plebs. We didn't see many live talks or events at the actual event. It was more just about meeting internet friends that we've never met before in person. It was a phenomenal experience. Everyone should definitely go.
Like I kept saying, it was the Magic Internet Money conference, but I was meeting my magic internet friends.
I like that. That's good. Yeah, I
Was
think that I thought it was great.
and people's heights are completely different. Like Andy Edstrom said, he was like, I like about Zoom is that I'm the same height as everybody. And he's not like super short, you know, but he was like, yeah, I'm the same height as everybody on a Zoom call.
That cracked me up.
And you know, it's just and it was funny because I got to meet my local fellow Pittsburgher Preston in person because he doesn't live in Pittsburgh anymore. But yeah, it was then got to see Princey in person. And then of course buddy Guy Swan got to get together with him actually and you know in meet space. So it's just it's funny. It's yeah, it's funny to see people on in real life whenever you're used to them being on Zoom calls. So, but yeah, well, I guess that'll do it for this episode. And Luke, we'll see what how ugly the number is tomorrow. It could be pretty damn
Would I
ugly.
say 9.4?
Yeah, I think I said like 10.2. So we'll see who's right. Loser buys the other one dinner.
Done.
And yeah. Plebs, we appreciate you guys. And if you wanted to check out the charts, just go over to the YouTube channel. And thanks again to our sponsor, Bitbox, shiftcrypto.ch. That's where you can find it, / Bitcoin Made Simple. Thanks again, guys.